Welcome, everybody. This is Wes Schaefer, the Sales Whisperer, and Roger Bauer from Social Media Ninja. Here again with another version, another edition, another round. Hey, bartender, another round of Southern Social Media. As usual, Roger's got all this stuff to talk about. I just make stuff up as we go. Because if I were to plan ahead of time, that would be Armageddon, which is today's word. Armageddon, it's a noun and a verb, putting oneself in position for action. I tell you, if it gets any crazier, I'm Armageddon out of here. I can't even say it.
I was wondering where you were going with that one. I was like, this ought to be a good one today.
Armageddon out of here. Right. What are these rednecks doing with computers and microphones and voice over IP, telephony, and goodness gracious, I got fiber to my house. I guess I'm losing redneck credibility with fiber optics coming into my home, streaming.
Holy smokes.
15 meg connections, huh?
Wow. You're not kidding.
Goodness gracious, I'm going to go back to dial-up. A little
pipeline,
maybe. I need some plain old telephone service. Get my
pot. Get you some pot.
Get my redneck credibility back.
Uh-huh. All right, so first up on the list.
What's going on in your fancy world today?
Yeah, I got a fancy little stat for you. According to smallbusinessnews.com, that's N-E-W-Z, their little tagline is for business success. 9% of SMBs, which is small and medium businesses, are marketing with Twitter.
9%?
9% currently.
Okay.
But 32% of small business advertisers plan on including social media into their marketing mix within the next 12 months. So what we're doing, Wes, we're hitting the market right as they're starting to pick up on this stuff. So our timing's pretty good. Hopefully.
So 9%
are,
now, and then what's the other number?
They are the 32% of small businesses. Well, 9% are doing Twitter right now.
Yep, and 32% plan to next year?
Right, within the next 12 months. So those are good stats. And then he goes on to talk about, let me give this guy credit, Chris Crum is the author of the article. And percentage of SMBs by age of business currently using Twitter for promotion are as follows. Businesses that are 3 years or less, 16% of the businesses. Businesses that have been open for 4 to 6 years, 11%. 7 to 10 years, 6%, and then businesses that have been in business for 11-plus years, guess what percent are using Twitter to market their business?
12%.
Close. 2 out of every 100 or 2%. 1 out of every 50. So what I think that statistic tells us is that the businesses that have been around for a while, which you would think are the more successful businesses, are turning their nose up at this whole Twitter and social media craze when, realistically, those should be the ones that are paying the most attention to this stuff because it will help them stay in business for the next 11 years or whatever it may happen to be. So I found those statistics interesting that the longer a business has been around, the less they use Twitter. So I don't know whether that's a state of the business owner's view, because usually small businesses are run by one guy, two guys, three guys, or three girls, whatever it may happen to be. And you would think that they have figured out, well, obviously if they've been around for 11-plus years, they're doing something right. But doesn't seem to fit along with what you would think that businesses are doing that stay around longer. You'd think they would be a little more proactive in their marketing and their advertising.
Hey, what's that beeping on the phone line? You hear that?
I don't hear it.
All right. Hope it doesn't get recorded. But I tell you what's going on is that people, they get comfortable, right? They get in the comfort zone, so 11 years.
Mm-hmm.
So they're thinking, hey, things are all right. I know what I'm doing. Then the other part is the economy dropped, you know, fell off so rapidly. I promise you there's a lot of business owners that are shell-shocked. I was in this I'm in this networking group called ProGrowth. Started out here in Southern California and had a regional meeting. There were like 22 of us there this morning. And these are attorneys, you know, insurance agents, accountants, business consultants, people that own their own business and have been in business for quite some time, you know, 10 years or more. And most people in the room with 20-plus years experience in general, you know, and then about 10 years or more independently. And to a person, they were talking about how business had fallen off, how their clients were hurting, people were, quote-unquote, hunkering down. So, you know, I promise you, a lot of these older businesses are shell-shocked. The stuff they used to do isn't working. They threw more money after what used to work, and they got poorer and poorer results. Now they're out of money. They're frustrated. You know, they're busy with their head in their business or up their butts, and they're not open to new technology. But you know what? There's still a lot of confusion in general on social media. With Twitter especially, there's a lot of confusion. I always hear people, you know, they say, I don't care that you had macaroni and cheese for dinner. You know, why do I want to use Twitter? And it's like, all right, you know, that person is prime for listening and meeting with us, you know, because you want to know it. You may not want to know why or who had what for dinner, okay, but it's part of the conversation.
Right, exactly.
You know, and how can you leverage that to your benefit, the fact that people are telling you they had macaroni and cheese for dinner?
Mm-hmm.
And there is a way to do it.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of the sales training that we've gone through and we've seen other people give, and organizations pay a lot of money for these people to come in and consult with them and teach them how to build rapport. And when you walk into the decision maker's office, look around, take note of what's on the walls, what seems to be important to them. So you make a note of that. You may not mention it in your first meeting, but eventually something's going to come up. Like I walked into a client's office the other day and noticed he's got a lot of sailboats up there. So I just made a casual comment about, oh, see, you're pretty into sailboats. What's that all about? And he started to tell me that he really likes boats, and he doesn't like the motorized boats because they're noisy and they don't give you that tranquility that you get from being out on a sailboat. Well, that's the same thing that you're talking about, Wes, is somebody says, oh, I went down to Dave and Buster's for dinner last night with the family. And let's see here. My daughter played the blah, blah, blah game. Well, that's a conversation starter. You don't have to look for an icebreaker to try to generate a little rapport with this person. It all goes back to that, how do you develop a relationship offline, online? And usually you don't walk up to somebody the first time you meet them and start giving them a pitch about your product, your service, or what's going on that they need to take advantage of or pay you money for right there. You ask them little questions about their life.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, you're trying to sell to people, and people are going to buy you before they buy a product or service. They've got to like you before they decide, hey, that looks like something that could help me or benefit me. So all of this stuff, if you're paying attention and you're listening and you can capitalize on the conversation, because the conversation is taking place whether you're there or not. And we've been hammering that for the last couple of weeks on this podcast and in our webinars, teleseminars, training courses with people, and we get a lot of the same reactions of, just like you said, Wes, why do I care that Wes had what macaroni and cheese for dinner last night? Well, if I'm trying to sell Wes something, that could come in handy because I may know something that a competitor doesn't know, or maybe they're sharing something regularly on their status updates that I can capitalize upon, but if I'm not paying attention, I don't have a clue. So that's how it all ties back into how you make money with social media.
Yep. Well, it's kind of like, you know, I don't care that you are from Zimbabwe and you need to clear a $25 million check, of which you'll give me 20% if I help you in this one transaction, right? But those emails that go around, I mean, so upwards of 95% of email spam, 40% of Twitter traffic is now spam. doesn't mean it's not a valid medium.
Right.
You got to figure out how to use it. You know.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, how do people filter their emails now to decide what is relevant versus what isn't? And
yep.
We keep telling people that if you put out valuable content, you put out quality content, eventually you will stand out to the rest of the crowd because they will take notice, hey, Wes is putting out stuff that's worth paying attention to. Roger's cranking out stuff that either makes me laugh or helps me accomplish something during the day or is trying to help me achieve my business goals, so I'm going to listen to him. Same thing with the email. I can send out 1,000 emails to you every day. If you've decided Roger's sending me garbage, it doesn't matter. I could send you 1,000,000 a day. You're not going to open one of them because they're not relevant to you. But if you know how to get through to these people, and that's part of listening, you know, if you're just blasting out your message. I got another email from one of the famous internet marketers today, and I find it funny that he is creating a Twitter product. And if anybody's familiar with what's going on in the internet marketing space, it won't take a whole long time to figure out who I'm talking about. But this guy, I mean, every promotion that comes down the pike, he's on it. And
mm-hmm.
It's always like, oh, you know, I got the latest, greatest this, go check this out, and, oh, you know, you really got to check this out. This is going to make your life great. And it's gotten to the point where at the beginning, I was tuned in to what the guy was saying. And I liked what he was saying. And he's one of those that in some of his early training courses was preaching this whole build relationships with your customers, build lasting impressions on your prospects, contribute value. Well, it's funny that he was preaching all that at the beginning, but if you go look at his Twitter account, he's got 30-something thousand people following him, and he follows 50-something in return. So can't really think he's building a lot of relationships that way. He's on every single promotion that comes down the pike, whether it's the product he's made or somebody else. He's trying to make affiliate commissions at every turn. His Twitter tweets, which I don't even pay attention to anymore. I don't pay attention to his emails. I've turned him out, tuned him out as far as that goes. Don't even follow him on Twitter anymore. But they're always some kind of buy this, buy that, buy this. So it's funny also that he comes from the used car environment because that's the impression that a lot of people are starting to get of this particular marketer. And I don't have to mention his name if people are familiar because they've already figured out who it is. But it's one of those things that you see a lot of these quote-unquote gurus that tell you to do something or try to show you how to take advantage of this technology or that technology. And if you follow them for any length of time, some of them become this particular person to where it's like everything that they can promote, they want to, and it's all about making another dollar, which I'm all for.
Right.
But at the same time, you got to understand that people aren't tuning into this, buy my product at every turn. And it makes it hard for somebody that has followed somebody for a while to believe that person is genuine.
Well, it's the old adage. You know, act like you're showing up to a picnic, you know, or barbecue. You know, show up and just start talking to people. You know,
mm-hmm.
You don't just run right in and say, hey, you know, check out what I'm doing now. You need to buy this.
Mm-hmm.
Just it doesn't cut it.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people promote these guys because they have these big followings, and they think that somehow since they are aligning with this person or promoting this person's products, that somehow they're going to gain access because, oh, I'm helping them promote their product. These guys don't give two craps about what you do to help them. They've got enough people promoting their stuff that your little tweet that helps to spread the message, they're not going to be paying attention. All they care about is that they make a dollar at the end of the day, which is fine. I mean, you know, we're all in this to make money at the end of the day, but still, I mean, if you're going to be out there preaching, do this, do that, and build relationships with your customers, it kind of helps if you walk the walk a little bit.
Yep.
All right, so another
post.
Yeah, I'm preaching to the choir. So there's another post on Small Business News from Doug Caverly. I believe that's how you pronounce his last name, and this is from the 21st, so it's a week old. Social media success stories identified, and he's found some small businesses that are benefiting from social media, including Kogi Barbecue, the Marsh Cafe, Duke of York Cinema, Wiggly Wigglers, and Howie's. I've never heard of any one of these companies, but he goes on to talk about each one, and it looks like he's giving credit to Lauren Fisher, the co-founder of Simply Zesty, for identifying these outlets. But the Kogi Barbecue is an L.A. barbecue restaurant or chain that has built up 45,000 followers on Twitter by tweeting where the, I guess it's a truck that goes around and serves barbecue probably to offices and events and things of that nature. And, I mean, to build up 45,000 followers, it's probably local, probably mostly L.A. people, because why would Roger Bauer in Louisville, Kentucky give a damn that there's a Kogi truck that's going to be pulling up outside the Staples Center tomorrow? It's not going to apply to me because I'm not going to be there. But there's people in L.A. that probably want to know that that Kogi truck is going to be pulling up and offering barbecue outside the Staples Center for people getting ready to go into a Laker or a Clipper game. You know, they might want to know that.
Right.
That's it's an interesting way of doing it. They also ran a T-shirt competition, fans voting on their favorite T-shirt design. So they included some of their following to help vote on this, I guess, competition to see what T-shirt's best. So they got their user base involved in their campaign.
Right.
Now you've got the Marsh Cafe, which is, let's see what they did here.
Kids are home from school. Matt Max came in to say hello.
There you go. So they ran specials for their users through social media to drive foot traffic. And we've talked about this, Wes, about how even if you don't necessarily have a website, which I don't know whether Marsh Cafe has a website or not. They probably do, but let's say they don't. They've been able to generate foot traffic through social media by offering people that follow them and their fans, whether it's on Facebook or MySpace or whatever, free drinks and ran some other specials just for those people. And
right.
I'm sure they probably had some special code word that they used to track the foot traffic that came into their cafe through social media. So there's
I recommend all my clients that their code word be social media ninja.
Excellent. I like that.
That's what I tell them.
Or you could just tell them to make it smninja.com. That would even be better.
Or I tell them Big Daddy Wes.
Yeah. All right, so here the next one is the Duke of York Cinemas. They've got a Twitter account and a Facebook fan page. It's got about 1,900 followers and fans, and they've got a blog that they've used to share photos and engage customers. So there's an example of another little, I don't even know where the Duke of York Cinema is. I have no clue. But
dude, it's next to that York Peppermint Patty.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
All right. I've heard of the Duke of Earl, but the Duke of York, I guess I've heard of him, but I don't know where that
Duke of York Cinema is.
Yeah, that's right. But they built up 1,900 followers and fans, and they've shown that this has been very effective at engaging customers. So here's another small company that probably 99.9% of the country hasn't heard of, but yet in their little local market, they've been able to build a nice, healthy following through social media. And I'm sure it's impacting the bottom line because they've got these people engaged and feeling like they've connected with the company. So there's
right.
another example. Wiggly Wigglers. They've
that's
been
not
using
Piggly Wiggly. That's not Piggly Wiggly, is it?
No, it ain't no Piggly Wiggly now.
All right.
This is
all right.
Wiggly Wigglers, which I have no idea what they do. It's probably along the same lines, but or maybe
sounds
it's
cool.
A,
I'm buying whatever they're selling.
This is a UK firm. Let me look. Let me click on it and see what it is that they offer. It might be. Let's see here. Looks like they sell some products.
That's good. You got to sell some product.
Oh, they got worms. It's a worm outfit.
Goodness gracious. Decker had worms, but we got rid of those.
No wonder
that
he's
ain't
upset.
No good.
But, yeah, this is a worm cafe of sorts, I guess, for, I don't know, fishing and things like that. I don't know, but... what they've done is they've used a lot of podcasts and videos to help promote their product, website, and help sell more stuff to people. And that ties into the whole strategy of offer multiple media consumption avenues for people, because not everybody's going to want to read an ebook or a report or listen to a podcast. They're going to want to see a video. They want to see what you look like. They want to see a picture.
They don't want to see what you look like.
Well, you don't know that now.
You stayed in my house, son. You scary in the morning. Man.
But
I'm telling you, you got that face for radio, brother. You know, I mean, I love it. Damn, especially when them Cardinals, they ain't doing so well. You know, you get that ugly face going.
Oh, yeah, that's frequent during football season. Hopefully that'll be put to an end very soon.
Brother.
Yeah.
All right.
But my basketball team's getting ready to come on in 15 minutes, so we're
all right.
Going to tie this up quick tonight. But anyway, they've been successful in using multiple forms of media, so that's a good example of social media use. And then Howie's is, let's see what they are. They've got a presence just about everywhere. They've got over 2,000 fans on Facebook. They're on Last FM. They're also maintaining an active company playlist on there, so they're generating a lot of content to connect with people as well. I don't know what Howie's is either. That's another one of those local outfits that's another UK firm. All these might be UK firms. I have no idea. Well, the one can't be because it's the Korean barbecue out in L.A. So it looks to me like this is we've got a guy doing a little bit of extreme biking on the front there. Men's, women's, kids, hand-me-down, it looks like a clothing for kind of an active lifestyle.
Right.
That's what Howie's does. But they've used a lot of different forms of social media to connect with people who would otherwise not even know who they are. And, again, we're having a conversation about them, and I've never heard of them. They're over in the UK, so this also has some impact from social media that people are talking about them. So they're instigating or initiating the conversation about their brand and about what they do and things like that. So that's another example of how you can use social media to spread the word.
Very nice.
There we have it.
There you have it. So, gotta love syncing up all these Duma Flitchies to the other whatchamacallit, so when you're using the little thingamabob, the whole world can know about you. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, working on tying everything together again today. You know, one thing I got to caution folks about, if you set up multiple Twitter profiles, even if they're in the same related industry, even if they're not, only send out one update. When you send out an update, just send it out through one profile, because chances are you're probably following the same people through your multiple profiles, and it looks like spam. When you have multiple profiles and they get hit with the same update. I had this lady once, I'm looking back over my tweets from a long time ago, and she's like, oh, my God, how many Wes's are there? I feel like I got hit by four. I was like, I better turn that off.
Yeah, because I noticed that even in my little tweet deck, because I'm following you through multiple accounts, and you sent out the same update one time, like six or seven times, and I'm like, damn. I wonder what people
that was
are thinking.
Important, brother. I want you to know about it.
I mean, it was about our podcast, which that's all good, but at the same time, it was like, man, I wonder what people are thinking on the other end of that, going, all right, Wes, we got it. You did a podcast. Good for you.
Oh, but that's why. You know, what's the definition of an expert? Somebody that made all the mistakes possible in a very narrow field.
That's right.
You know, so that's why you bring in the Southern social media boys to straighten this stuff out, because kind of like Infusionsoft, you know, you've got to think this thing through, because you're going to have multiple steps and triggers and things are going to happen automatically. You know, like when we send out these updates, you know, I did a blog post about it, and we talked about it a little earlier in the week, but you know, using platforms that integrate with one another to make it simpler, you know. Rather than waste time when you're sitting in traffic or waiting for an appointment that's late, send out a little update, you know, stay relevant. But isn't it cool, you know, Hootsuite goes to ping.fm, goes to all my different places, LinkedIn, Facebook. You know, after all that testing, I still realized I had one fan page that was sending the update to Twitter. And so even after tightening everything up, I still notice that. So it's so then you got to make the decision, okay, how do I want the world to know what I'm up to?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's nice to use a Facebook fan page to update your status that then goes to Twitter and spreads the word. But how often are you doing that on the fan page versus something like Hootsuite when you're mobile? And, you know, to some people they may say, well, that sounds either academic or it sounds like you're getting into the minutia. But the fact is most of us are small business owners. We don't have a lot of staff we can outsource this stuff to, so we got to do it ourselves. And once you think this strategy through, you know, I realize my primary business is the Sales Whisperer. You know, this other fan page was more of some charity work through my church that I was setting up. So it's like, you know what, I got to turn that off and focus on my business. And then when I update the fan page through my church group, then hey, the updates won't go out to Twitter. Oh well, you know, I think the world will still revolve and the sun will rise in the east tomorrow without that one fan page updating Twitter. You know, at the chance of being appearing repetitive and a spammer and losing business followers or prospects, you know what I mean?
Right.
So, you feel me, dog?
Oh, I'm feeling you. And you mentioned that in Infusion, and that's one of those things that ties into the whole, we've been hammering the strategy home, but that's the same thing with Infusion, because the other day I went in to update one of the campaigns, and I put in a new email, and that's fine, because that's what I wanted it to do, but I forgot to go in and do the little box that says, you know, update everybody that's in the sequence that hasn't received an email last 10 days or whatever it is, or that are within 10 days of this particular event happening. So it sent the damn thing out again. So I look like a total moron because it's like, okay, Roger just got that email the other day, and here I'm getting the same one again. It's just got a couple little changes in it. Well, I mean, that's from not planning it out 100%, and that's one of those things that, you know, if you don't have your little check sheet in front of you, or you don't have a strategy, which I had a strategy, but I didn't have like a little checklist in front of me to remind me, hey, don't forget to check the little box that so people don't receive the same email again. But that goes into the whole social media thing too, that if you don't have checks and balances in place, then you can look like a spammer, or you can have, you know, updates that are updating updates that are updating updates, and it gets into an endless loop to where it's like, damn, when does it end?
Yep.
All right, one more thing. One more article on this small business news. There is another one from Chris Crum that social media can drive your search success. And we've talked about this, but we haven't hit it a whole lot. And for those people that are looking to achieve better search rankings through Google, Yahoo, or Bing, social media can drive a lot of links to your web properties. And we all know that search engines base a lot of their ranking criteria on the number of quality links you have pointing to your web properties. So if you don't want to use social media for updating your status, maybe you're really not a very social person in general, you can still take advantage of social media for its link qualities. And you can do things like social bookmarking. You can set up your Facebook account. Maybe you don't want to have a bunch of people following you or a bunch of fans or whatever, but you can have links coming out from there. You can have links coming out from MySpace. You can also set up a Scribd account, a DocStock, SlideShare, things of those nature. Hell, you don't even have to have the Facebook or MySpace or Twitter or anything like that. You don't have to communicate with anybody. You can just go to these document sharing sites. E-Zine Articles, that's another one. People don't view that as a social media site, but it is, because people can comment on your articles. They can post ratings. They can click on the little star. Hopefully they give you 5 stars, but they can rate you from 1 to 5 stars on what they think of your article. And so then you can get some interaction based on your articles. Not a lot of people do that, but the ability is there. And a lot of these can drive links to your properties. So if you're one of those that says, I don't want to have the fifth grader stalker finding me, or the nut job that I grew up with in my neighborhood that I finally moved away from, and the psycho, I'm finally away from the psycho, I don't want him finding me on, you know, Facebook or Twitter or whatever, well, you can still get some benefit from social media by setting up some of these other properties and taking advantage of their link juice, so to speak.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that I don't promote enough that I do is search engine optimization, but I tell a lot of clients these days, because they always ask me invariably in the first meeting, what do you think of this whole social media craze? Is it just a fad? Is it just, you know, is there anything there? And I'm like, yeah, in fact, you can't really distinguish the difference between search engine optimization and social media utilization. I don't like to call it social media optimization, because you don't really optimize social media. You just take advantage of it. And that I tell people that all the time, is that you can get a lot of links out of that. You can get a lot of traffic from social media. And if you, even if you are one of those people that a little bit scared of the whole social media craze and people contacting you from around the world that you've never heard of or have nothing in common with at first glance, you can still get some search engine optimization benefit out of it.
Yep. Well, and yeah, we're going to drive that point home over and over.
Yeah.
You know, social media is both about search and land grab.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being found.
Yeah, I mean, you and I were talking last night, Wes, about you've got a lot of accounts at some of these secondary and, use the big word for the day, tertiary social media sites that...
Goodness gracious.
Got to lift that one up, don't you? But you've got a lot of
like
accounts on these.
T-U-R-D, tertiary?
No, T-E-R-T-I-A-R-Y is what I believe it is.
All right, all right.
But you made the mention last night, and I've agreed with you that you've got a lot of accounts at a lot of these obscure social media sites, and I did the same thing, and it was just like you said, it was a land grab, an online land grab, that I didn't want somebody else to get my name, so I thought, well, I'll just go ahead and reserve the account, even if I never use it, and I don't think I've used 75% of the accounts that I've set up on some of these obscure ones, and I don't even know, you know, how many I have, because I didn't keep a log of them, which was a mistake on my part. But at the same time, at least I know somebody's not going to go out and get Roger Bauer on that particular site, because I've already locked it up.
Yeah, I've already locked up the domain names for my kids. Man, that cost them dang money.
It was 6 of them. Hell yeah.
God, 6 of them, brother.
Yeah.
But, you know, some of them were even taken. I mean, I had to use Sarah's middle name. So, you know, they'll appreciate it in 5 or 10 years, and they start messing with it in 15 years when they enter the workforce. But, you know, my oldest son, he's 12 and a half, man, and he's smart. And he's good with computers. He's talking to me about HTML and CSS programming and, you know, modifying the code. And he's helped me with some video work. He's really good at using iMovie with Apple and Keynote and creating presentations.
Well, Dan, we need to put that boy to work. Work for him.
I keep cracking the whip, man. I take my belt to him, and my wife, she gets mad.
I mean, we got plenty of web work for him.
She's like, let him watch cartoons. You know, I'm saying, get in here and do some programming, brother. Do some Java Perl.
That's right. Got to get that Java Perl going.
Cartoons. Goodness gracious. you know, having your own name as your domain is going to be pretty cool. It is already, and but you know, I was reading that by next year, 3 million or 3 billion people in the world will have access to the internet, and by 2015, 5 billion.
Mm-hmm.
So people are getting online, and so you better be visible.
Yeah.
You know.
Most definitely.
Social media.
Well, tell them how to get a hold of your 20.1 Facebook tips.
Well, I've added that to the homepage of thesaleswhisperer.com. Top right-hand side, 20.1 Facebook Business Basics. Get it now while it's free before I change my mind.
That's right.
Put some monetary figures to it.
That's right.
Yeah, check it out. You can get it right below that is the 7 Deadly Sins of Selling. Get them both. Don't cost nothing.
Yeah, it ain't going to hurt you.
Won't hurt you.
And we've also got, if you want to listen in on our webinar from last week, you can go to marketingvirtualseminar.com and learn why only 5% of marketers are making money with social media, how you can be one of the elite. Again, that's marketingvirtualseminar.com. Or if you're listening to the podcast on my blog, which is smbconsultinginc.com/blog, there is a little opt-in box that has just been changed to get you access right there so you don't have to go anywhere. But we're also going to be rolling out southernsocialmedia.com eventually once we get some of these other projects knocked out, and you'll be able to find the podcast on a regular basis there. But that's not going to be done tomorrow, and it's probably not going to be done this weekend, but it will be done soon.
Yes, sir. We've got this going into iTunes, baby. Should get indexed here this week.
There we go. All right, it's time to close it out because my U of L cards are getting ready to come on, and I'm not missing that.
Oh, man. Are you one of those you got to watch every single moment?
Hey, it's basketball, Ed. If you haven't experienced Kentucky's thirst for basketball, then you don't understand, brother.
They play basketball in Kentucky?
Oh, yes, we do. Very well, I might add.
All right. Well, you know you might be a redneck if your child's first words were, attention, Kmart shoppers. All right.
That's right.
You feel me?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
I've been there. True story, we were driving by Kmart, man. I was, I don't know, 8. My little sister's about 5, maybe. And drove by. I said, Mama, what do they sell? What do they sell there? And my little sister says, well, silly, they sell K's. I'm like, well, guess I told you.
They sell K's. I guess Walmart sells walls.
With only one L.
That's right. So you're missing part of the wall.
Isn't that funny?
Well, cool.
Oh,
this is
man.
Time to close it out there, Wes.
All right, brother. Well, this is Wes Schaefer, the Sales Whisperer, and Roger Bauer of SMB Consulting, Inc., the sales or the social media ninja. Signing out. Good luck to the Louisville boys shooting some hoops tonight. I won my fantasy football league. I forgot to mention, yeehaw, I'm 5-2, tied for first. Stay tuned. Let you know how this turns out this season. Be sure and contact us for social media done for you and anything else you need from a technology perspective. We can do it, believe it or not. We're out of here.
See ya.
Bye.